Hi everyone, this is Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach and multiple best-selling author of books like the How to Blog a Book, the Author Training Manual, Authorpreneur, and a couple other ebooks. I'm here today with Linda Lee. Hi Linda.
Hi Nina.
And we are talking about the 8 elements every author website must have. This is one of my favorite topics, and it's also a really, really essential topic for anyone who wants to succeed as an author, because you have to have a website, an author website. And typically this is a blog. It's set up with blogging software, which Linda will probably talk about. Everybody probably knows I'm a big blogger. I have lots of websites, but you don't have to have a lot. You just need one. But you do need an author website. So this is really important, and I hope you're going to pay a lot of attention to what Linda has to say. So Linda Lee is a speaker, teacher, and website designer. She's an expert in WordPress design, websites, instruction, and consulting. Linda and her team have built more than 200 websites, and she founded Smart Women, Stupid Computers, Ask Me PC Web Design, and WordPress Total Training. She offers a WordPress boot camp and online classes at WordPressTotalTraining.com. She's also the volunteer director at the San Francisco Writers Conference, and Linda has been one of my, she's the first person, maybe not the first, but she's the person who took all my websites and put them into WordPress. And before that, we had other web types of web static websites, but then we went into WordPress, and she's converted all kinds of all my sites and designed my sites, and we've been working together for many, many years. And she designs tons of websites for authors through the San Francisco Writers Conference, and she's just a self-taught wonder when it comes to websites. So Linda, I'm really pleased to have you here.
Thanks, Nina. Thanks so much. Well, let's talk about this. So the 8 elements every website must have, and this is just a quick overview of what we're going to cover. So we're going to start off with your book sales page, because most of you that are listening to this are probably authors. And I cannot tell you how many authors come to me and they don't even have their own sales page for their book. And they'll say, well, I just give them the link to Amazon. If you've written a book and you've spent all that time and you've gone to all that trouble and you don't have the best sales page for your own book on your own website, what does that tell your readers? I mean, a lot of authors don't like to do sales things, but you know, you have to be the biggest fan of your own product. So you have to set up a good book sales page, all right? So the first thing you can do, these are just some ideas for you to help you format your page, you know. Give your elevator pitch on your sales page. You know, do that little one paragraph of why they should buy your book, all right? You should have your product name and what type of book, fiction, nonfiction. You can talk a little bit about if it's a fiction book, your character's ambition, the conflicts, significant. You could have a few reviews that say, great beach reading. You know, I loved this story. I read it on the plane when I was flying somewhere. You know, just you want to have something, you know, go look at other authors' sales pages that you love and see how they have sold their book. And, you know, usually if you have an agent or a publicist, they'll help you figure out some good catchy things to say. You know, be sure to remember this is a sales page. So you want to say, buy the book now. You know, make sure that you have a buy button. Now, most people do not sell their own books and ship them out anymore. So your buy button will go to Amazon or go to wherever you're selling your book. But you want them on your page buying it off of your page. Nina, what do you think of that?
Yeah, because what you can do with that is you can have your affiliate link. So one of the ways to make, some of my books are self-published, but some are traditionally published. And for the ones that are traditionally published in particular, you know, I might want to send them to Amazon to buy those books, but I want to make some extra money because I'm not making as much as a self-published author. And one of the ways I can do that is by becoming an affiliate of Amazon and actually getting an affiliate link for my book so that when I send them to Amazon to buy the book, I'm actually making money. And even with my publisher, Writer's Digest Books, I'm an affiliate and I can send them to Writer's Digest Shop via an affiliate link and actually make more money. So it's very important to have the books on your site. You also don't want to always be sending them away. You want to have a sales page where you're talking about your book and you have testimonials and all that kind of stuff, and maybe even a video, and you know, say why they should be buying your book, and then send them to the place you want them to buy it.
That's right, and you reminded me, on all of your links on your website and your buy button, there's usually a setting that says open link in new window. Very important. What that does is if they click the buy button, they'll go to Amazon, but they'll still stay on your website. So after they buy the book, they can just hop right over back to your website. And a lot of people aren't even aware of that choice. When you add links on a website, there is a setting to open a new window that controls what the other people's browser does when they click links.
Right. Hey, Linda, can I get you to backtrack just for a second?
Sure.
So I mentioned the difference between static sites and WordPress sites. And so before we go any farther, can you just just explain to people whether you're talking about a WordPress site or whether it makes any difference with any of the stuff you're talking about and why you prefer one thing over another?
Right. I tried to make this presentation for everybody, so no matter what kind of website you have, it will be applicable to you. But, you know, Nina and I are huge WordPress fans, and obviously almost all the major networks have become fans as well. All of their blog and entertainment stuff is now built on WordPress, Entertainment Tonight, ABC, NBC, CBS, all local affiliates now have WordPress sites. It's fascinating to me to find so many WordPress sites now. They are like one of the largest. I think they have over 60 million, or I'm not sure. The last count was huge. I think it was 600 million, actually. It's a crazy amount of people that have converted their websites to WordPress. Why? Because WordPress was actually built to work with the search engines, and the search engines love fresh content, and WordPress websites are designed, because of the blogging feature, to constantly crank out fresh content. So I do HTML website conversions. That's been a lot of my business the last 2 years. People that have what is a traditional HTML website and they want to convert to WordPress. I can keep your design and all your content. So you can convert to WordPress. Now, a lot of people also get confused. There's WordPress.com and WordPress.org. WordPress is just a software. WordPress.com is where you can go get a free WordPress website, but there are restrictions with things that you need, plugins and other things. If you have any kind of your own web hosting, almost all the web hosts now offer, you know, free WordPress installation. You can just install it on your hosting. And then after that, it's just a matter of learning how to use it and the design aspect of it, which aren't that difficult. I mean, WordPress was made to be self-run, so you don't have to pay a webmaster anymore.
Right. All right, great. So that's so everybody knows, it doesn't matter what kind of site you're using, these eight essentials are, you know, you want to have them no matter what. But a lot of people will be using WordPress.
Right. And even on a normal HTML site, that link option is still in there when you're linking. It's still, you can find that wherever you're, whatever program you're using, and it'll say open new window, keep on site, you know, whatever. So right. That's for all HTML or WordPress or whatever. All right.
I was just going to mention, if your book isn't out yet, in terms of that sales page, if you don't have your book yet, what you can do is, as soon as you have a cover, put the cover up there. And if you've gotten any reviews, you know, any blurbs or testimonials, you can put those up early. But if you don't even have those yet, if you're not at that point, just why not put up a sign up for people who are interested, to get them onto your mailing list already, you know, to say they're interested in buying the book when it comes out. So give them the details on the book and get them on a list so that you can contact them when the book is out.
Exactly. And Nina and I work with a lot of new authors, and they often say to us, but I don't even have the book done yet. Why do I need a website? You need to start building your platform before your book is done. Any agents, editors, and people in the business will tell you that. So that is correct. Whether your book's done or not, put a blurb on what it's going to be about. And if you're fortunate enough to have the cover, even a sample cover, just to get something into Google and Bing and the search engines. So that's good advice, Nina. All right, now, a lot of people are not good at sales. My background actually is management and sales. You know, close the sale. Tell people, buy my book. You know, stand behind your book. This is a great book. I stand behind my book, you know, especially if it's a not a fiction book, but in fiction too. Use a large buy now button. They're free. You can just Google images and find one and then install it. Make sure it all works, you know, after you put the button in there, if it's going to PayPal or to Amazon or to wherever, you know, Smashwords. Make sure you check your page out, and then if you have any sort of setup where you can know who bought your book, send them a thank you email. But if it's just going to another site, that's going to be hard to follow up. But we're going to talk about building your email list later. Okay, so the next thing everybody needs to put up is an author biography page, and a lot of people really struggle with this. You need to just have a good couple paragraphs of information about yourself. People want to know your background and who you are, and you know, I'm sure all I go to author bio pages all the time. I want to know more about them, especially if I'm enjoying their book. Also, you want to sound on the internet, you know, just experience your expertise, your credibility. Think of things that you might have on your resume, but, you know, make them more conversational. And if you need to get help, there's a lot of, if you're in a writing group, have them help you put together a bio. I had a PR guy I was working with, and he wrote a great bio for me using things that I hadn't even thought to include, which were from my prior background to web design. And when he was done, I said, boy, I'd hire that person because he's a professional and he knew how to lay out all my years of life experience and make it all really come together. And I could have never written that. So, you know, be sure to ask for friends' help. They might say, oh, why don't you include this, something you never even thought of. Include a headshot. If you can afford it, get a professional headshot. Or I have a picture on one of my business cards that a friend took in her backyard that turned out fantastic. So I just cropped it and used it, and it's still one of my favorite headshots. So if you have somebody that's good with photography, go in your backyard, nice lighting. If you're a woman, wear a little more makeup than you usually do because it does fade in the picture, and get some nice green behind you, and you can get a couple of things like that and just crop them and put them on your website, because a lot of people don't have a headshot when they start off. But you do need a good picture of yourself. Don't use one from 5 years ago on a cruise that's blurry. I actually had someone give me one like that. It was the only picture they had of themselves. I'm like, we need to fix this.
Right. You know, I'm going to chime in because I get headshots done a lot. I've spent a lot of money on headshots. I have somebody who I love to take my shots, and whenever I find him somewhere, I get pictures taken because you can use them in so many ways. You know, today visuals are so important, and so I have had shots taken so that I can use visuals in, you know, on the social networks with quotes and things like that. But for your author bio page, it's so important to have a photo that looks really good. And I actually crafted on my main site, ninaamir.com, I actually crafted a bio that's really long and very story-like. And I actually put in different photos. So I have a headshot, but then I have different photos that were taken during the photo shoot so that people get a real sense of who I am. And I had a PR person recently tell me what a good job I had done with that.
Okay, so I wanted to show, because I love your bio page. I think you did a fantastic job on this. So let's see where it's about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is really nice. And you can see these beautiful pictures Nina got taken. I love these. And this is, I just see, I love your working shot.
And you got that one was taken with my computer. I have a Mac, and I did that like with Photo Booth or something.
Wow, that turned out really good. And then I love you have all your books on there. You know what, when I first saw this a couple of months ago, and your husband and you, I just thought it was really nice. So, yeah. You know, this is great. Nina has a lot of experience. Most people's will not be this long, but, you know, I really liked that a lot. So that, if you want to look, Nina's sites, pretty much everything we talk about, she has all of this on her different websites. So it's, I use you frequently, Nina, when I do demos for when I do this talk.
So. Well, thank you. So yeah. I'm still working on it. I'm always changing everything because I got to say some of this I teach also, and then I'll go look at my website and say, I've been teaching this for like a year, and look at my website.
Yeah, right,
even
right.
The bio, to be honest, the bio on some of my blog, I have to go, like now I'm thinking about it, I have to go back and look at every one of my blogs and see, did I switch out the bio? Because I used to just have that third person bio on all my blogs, all my
right.
websites, and it doesn't work on the internet. It's great for giving to you know, the media or whatever, a third person bio, but on your websites, you have to have something much more personal.
It's true. People respond to that better. And then finally, always include all your contact information. But what I recommend is you have a contact page with a plugin that doesn't show your email address, because once your email address gets picked up by bots and sold to spammers, you'll never stop the spam. So you never want to put your email actually on the internet. So a contact plugin or some kind of, you know, if you have an HTML website, there's forms you can install that will not show your email. So what you can do is on your bio page at the bottom, just say contact me and link it to your contact page. So you're not giving out your, you know, information. All right. Now next you want to have a media kit or PR page. Now a lot of people are just starting out, so you're going to say, I don't really have a lot of this, but this is a page, it's like a resource for anyone that's interviewing you, or if you do any podcasting or radio, or if you're fortunate enough to get a TV interview, or any, hard format press like magazines or newspapers or anything. So these are the things that you want to have on that page. You're going to have a download link for one of those nice photos you took of yourself, so they can just download it. And this actually works out for me, even doing speaking locally to writers groups and things. If you have a download link, you can just send them. Then you don't have to attach it to your email, because some people's email won't take attachments. And it's just a good thing to have. And then it's easy to give people, here's all my information. Just go to this page. You can download my bio on PDF. You can download, you know, everything. Now, I love, Nina was the one that I first saw do all of this on one of her websites. And one of the things I loved that she had was author interview topics. Because especially for some of you starting out, you might have certain topics you're really comfortable with, and if you can, someone wants to interview, if you can say, here's my interview topics, that gives you a little more control over what you're going to speak about too. And then your resume, if it's appropriate, sometimes your resume, an actual resume, is needed, so it's good to have that written up. Then, of course, your biography that you will have already created. And then it's really good to have a list of media appearances. You want to build on that. Like everything I've done, I have on a page on my website from the beginning. So people that are looking to hire me or ask me to speak, they can just scroll down that page and see where I've been before. And this is how you can start building your credibility. And then, of course, if you have any news releases, which I don't see that much anymore, but you know, that's a good thing too. And then Nina, this is kind of your layout that I learned, so I'm sure you have something to add to this.
Yeah, so the news releases are still really important, and they're it's not a subject we're going to get into now. I'll have another module on publicity and PR where we'll talk about news releases some, but I do have still a link to my Expert Click site where I have news releases. But I do suggest that they're on your site in some way. And, of course, the media appearances is really important. The interview topics, also questions. If you can put, you know, 10 questions that people can ask you, it makes it really easy. What you want is for when somebody wants to interview you from the media, even if it's just a podcaster, you want it to be really easy for them to just show up on your site and grab what they need, to download a high-resolution photo, to grab your bio, to grab some, you know, to figure out what they're going to talk to you about and to get the questions. So all of that's really, really important. And even the resume, if that's something that's important. For me, it's not as important anymore, the resume. I've sort of moved beyond that, but it's still on my site. The other thing to know is that if you are struggling with a media kit, there is a really easy way these days to set up a media kit on your site, and also to be able to give to people if you want. And I love promoting this because I think it's such a great product, and that is that Joel Friedlander worked with Joan Stewart to come up with a template for a media kit. So if you're struggling to do this and you don't know how to do it, then I suggest going to thebookdesigner.com and getting one. But the I'll give you a link that will get you there. So it's bit.ly, bit.ly/, and then lowercase, book designer templates, and then N-A, capital N-A at the end. That will take you to the templates. So it's bit.ly, bit.ly/, book designer templates, and then capital N-A. That's going to take you to this media kit that you can actually use to create the media kit on your site.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it makes it really easy.
And these things we're talking about today, what happens is if you have the setup we're discussing today, when you pitch your work to an editor or an agent or anyone that would be interested in you, when they go to your website, what they see is a very professional, together-looking website. And that just puts you above a lot of people right off the bat. So, you know, these are just basic things that a lot of websites are missing, which is why I put this presentation together. All right, now the next thing you have to do, it doesn't matter if you like social media or not, you have to get involved in social media to help sell your books. Now, the thing is, I actually do not encourage people to use their personal accounts at all. I say start a new author Facebook account and, you know, start an author Twitter and keep your personal account. If you're someone that's got the cousins and the grandparents and everybody, and you've got all your friends, and most people at this point have a pretty big personal Facebook account, I tell them just when they're ready, start the book one where they're just keeping things to the their author related friends and contacts and blogging about the book and everything. So this is a place, Facebook's a great place to build a relationship with your fans. You can actually even start your own discussion groups, private discussion groups if you get to that point, depending on your book and the topics. You can post videos, surveys, pictures. I mean, this is where you can really go to town to promote your book on Facebook. And a lot of people that don't even go look at websites that much are real active on Facebook. So it's different, slightly different audience. Make sure that you have, you know, the link to your fan page or your Facebook page on your website, and you know, we'll talk about that a little more later. And you know, also the two, you need that. Facebook is one of the non-negotiables. All right, you don't have to have a Twitter account, but a lot of authors I know that are doing well are very active on Twitter, and they, you know, all highly recommend Twitter. LinkedIn is still the more professional contacts, but I love LinkedIn for that very reason. It's not spammy, and you make really good connections in there with other people that are like-minded. LinkedIn also has something that I love. They have writing groups in there, very active, huge writing groups. Like, I contribute to a couple WordPress groups in there where I just go in and offer help to people asking questions. But that's another way that I tell people to promote themselves, is to actually go somewhere and offer free advice and help. And this builds up your trust, because the whole thing about working online is, can you be trusted? Can I trust what you say? Especially if you're someone that's written a how-to book. You know, it's really helpful to go offer free help and get involved. And, you know, make sure it's a group you're interested in too, that you're not just there to promote yourself. Now, and then YouTube, if you can, you know, I tell people it's good to start your own channel. You don't even have to do your own videos at first. You can actually put people that you like who have maybe the same topic as you, or, you know, videos that you like, not cat videos and things. You need to keep these. I suggest everybody has a whole set where they're just professional. You should just try to build your professional reputation. Stick to your topics. Stick to your subjects. I mean, if you were a comedy writer, yeah, the cat videos would probably be appropriate, you know. So anyway, you don't even have to make videos. But a lot of people I work with now just use a little camera or even their webcam and do videos of them talking or giving instruction if it's how-to things. And they're doing quite well. Martha Alderson is somebody that really has done well with YouTube videos, just giving away free instruction videos. And now she started a paid course that's doing really well. I found a new plugin recently. If you if you can't afford to pay someone to help with your social media when you're getting started, there is a plugin if you have a WordPress website called NextScripts, and it will auto-post for you every time you publish something new on your website. It will post it on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for you. And if you want to upgrade to their pro version, which is only $50, it's a one-time fee, you can also add Pinterest and Google Plus. So
that's great. I think I'm going to look into that.
You know, go check it out, because I was sending people to Twitter feed, but then what happened is Facebook changed this rule they had, and now they made you have to go every 90 days and renew everything. So it got to be quite a bit of work, actually, and people aren't that savvy with that stuff anyway. This is a plug-in that kind of walks you through the back end of how to connect everything. You still have to connect these API keys and things, but once you get it set up, you don't have to keep redoing it. So plus, a lot of people, they just like having everything on their website. So this is in your plug-in section. So yes, it's a good plug-in. Happy with that. All right, now I'd like to just give you a few ideas for other unique places that you can network and promote yourself. There's a lot of people do podcasting and internet radio shows. I mean, you've got the Blog Talk Radio. You could start your own channel if you think you have enough. You can interview other people. One of my clients actually even interviewed Prince Charles about the environment. I couldn't believe she actually got to interview Prince Charles. So that was fascinating. But, you know, you can, she has her own radio show on there. You can write articles and submit them to portals, but a lot of these portals have, you know, Nina, why don't you drop in on that? Because you used to be pretty active on this.
Yeah, I still, I haven't been active on ezinearticle.com for a while. I used to use a subscription to do ezine articles. And it would it was like a distributor and would put my stuff out everywhere. But because the rules on the internet have changed so much with Google, I now just use ezinearticle.com. And I keep asking people over and over again, do these things still work? And everyone says yes. So I'm still a big supporter of using ezinearticle.com. I haven't used GoArticle, but it's the same type of thing. And actually, I think I have been on there, but and Scrib. These are all great places to put content if you have time, and they will send people to your websites. You have to do them correctly. You have to have, you know, a resource box that says, you know, where you, what it's a call to action. You know, please come over to my website or buy my book or subscribe to my newsletter, whatever it is. But all of this is really good. And also the, excuse me, the information on video and audio, excuse me, is really a good thing to be doing. The internet radio shows are very easy. You could start one up on Blog Talk Radio for free. And it works just like a podcast. And today, podcasting is very, very popular and getting more and more popular all the time. I'm thinking about starting a podcast. Mm-hmm. And just anything you can do like that. And like you were saying, I wanted to go back to the video. I mean, it's so easy with your iPhone or, you know, any kind of phone, you know, now to do a video. Sometimes when I'm in a hurry, that's what I'll use is my phone. I have a tiny little tripod for it called the GorillaPod, and I set that up and I'll shoot a little video. But if you have a digital camera or your computer, like I said, you know, your computer will shoot a video. It's amazing the things you can do very easily now and all of this. But back to the content portals, yeah, I think that they're definitely worth doing still.
Okay, good. And like you said, I think the important thing is always focus on your own website first, and then if you have the time to branch out to these things, because what you're doing is you're repurposing things you already wrote. And then also on all of the magazine or the article portals, you put a little bio of yourself, which is another thing. If you've already spent the time and you have a long bio and a short bio, huge time saver, because you're going to be dropping that short bio into your social media profiles and if you join any forums. So it's really, I always tell people, it's worth it to spend some time crafting a long bio and a short bio that you like, and having a small picture and a large picture and different size images you want to use. Because as you're growing your business and you're joining different places, You'll have it all ready. You won't have to sit there and keep making up a new one when you're not in the mood. You might not be that creative. You can just copy and paste and upload these images that you've already spent time preparing. So
right, and let's go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was done.
Okay, so what I was going to say was the thing to remember about all this social media and, you know, posting things, and I don't know what you were going to talk about, guest blogging. You didn't mention that one, I don't think. But all of this has to do with sending traffic back to your site. And I agree that you first have to focus on your site, and the good content will, a lot of good content consistently is going to get you noticed and send people to your site. But you also have to increase your reach, and that's done in all these other ways.
Exactly. And then on the guest blogging, it's the same thing. Part of the post you give somebody is your short bio with a link back to your website on the bottom. That's just, you know, protocol. So you're going to just give them a post that you like. You know, you can, if they're a certain type of website, you can tweak it a little bit to match the, what they're looking for, and then just make sure the whole point of this is not to just give away your stuff, but to bring people back to your website to discover you and your books and your products. Right. So those are some ideas. Now, blogging, this is, of course, our big thing that we want to talk about. It's really the primary way you're going to get traffic to your website and people are going to find out about you. Google looks for the freshest content. They changed their algorithms years ago now, and they're constantly looking for the most recent things that are posted. So this is really how the search engines are working now. They're looking for, Google has said, here's what we're looking for. We want what you say your website is to match what you're writing and posting. It's not, there's no real trickery anymore. There's not this SEO, search engine optimization, spammy links and keyword stuffing and all these things that were at the beginning of time are done. Websites that do that literally get what's called Google slapped. They get banned and dropped out of Google. And if you're dropped out of Google, it's like you don't exist. But the main thing is that, you know, I don't know anyone that's happened to, because everyone I work with are authors and they're just writing legitimate content and have legitimate things to say. So you don't have to worry about that. But I would like to just put a quick warning in here. As soon as you put a website up, you're going to start getting hundreds over the months of people saying, I can make you number one in Google. For $5, I'll put you on 1,000 social media sites. These are all just robot emails coming to you. And I've had one client every week saying, should I try this? Is this good? And she just, I can't believe she's falling for all of these spammy emails. But I guess if you don't know better, they look legitimate, because a lot of them say, I looked over your website and I can help you. They didn't look over your website, and they cannot help you. Do not go for any of those emails. And there's nothing you can do about it. Once you're on with the website and you're published, you're going to start getting these. So I just want to put a little warning in there, because a lot of my clients come to me to fix things after they fall for some of these bad offers.
Yeah, you know, and I always say, if you just stay focused on your topic, I mean, you just have to figure out, what is my book about? What are the themes? What are the subjects? You know, and just blog about that. And if you do that day in and day out, you're going to produce content that is organically search engine optimized, because it is, you know, you're going to be producing all those keywords, which are just the things people are searching for. So if you're constantly writing about the things people are searching for, you know, on your topic, that's going to drive you up in the search engine results pages.
Exactly. It's not trickery. It's nothing. You don't have to do anything other than write legitimately about your interests and what you are pursuing. And even, and I tell people, they say, I don't know what to write about. I said, what about all the research material you didn't use? What about all the things you learned on the way, the writer's journey? No matter if it's fiction or nonfiction, every author has a journey they took. And you can blog about your journey, you know.
Right.
There's so many things. Other writers want to learn about your journey, too. Like, how did you finish this book? Why did you even want to write this book? What was it that, you know, there's so many things. Like, really, if you start making a list, we all have days we feel more creative than others. I keep a notebook with ideas, and I suggest you do the same, of when you're out driving around and an idea hits you, because you know, it's, been proven an idea comes in, I think it's like 5 seconds in and out of our head. So that's why it's a good idea to write things down, especially when you're working online, because some days you're going to wake up and you're not going to have a thing in there to write about. And then you can go look at your list and say, oh yeah, that's right, I wanted to write about that. Like, I save articles that trigger things in me that I want to blog about later. So, you know, things like that. Keep a folder on your desktop, save articles that were interesting to you that you might want to blog about, and a list of ideas that come to you in your daily life. So, because, you know, it, and some people, I tell people if they can just put some new content on their website once a week, which is a realistic amount, they won't believe how much their traffic will go up. Now, I have some people that say, well, someone told me to blog every single day. I see those people burn out, and usually the most a month they last. That's a lot of writing, because it takes about a good hour to actually write the article, even if it's just short, because the average reader only reads 250 to 350 words now, so it's not like you have to even write long articles. But to set them up correctly with pictures and optimized keywords and just the little back-end things you have to do, it takes about an hour. So, Nina, don't you find that?
Yeah, I think it takes me a little longer. I'm a pretty fast writer, so the writing doesn't take super long. I mean, I would say in, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, I could probably have the post done, you know, maybe an hour tops, depending on how long it is.
Right. I'm talking
about detail, but then there's the back end. There's the finding the photo, which can sometimes take a while. And then there's, you know, we're talking about just a little bit of search engine optimization. There's a good plugin called SEO by WordPress SEO by Yoast, Yoast, that I know you use, Linda, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, sure, you know, just filling out the little form. I mean, that's all it is. It's, you don't have to know anything about search engine optimization. You just fill out the little form. And, you know, and then, of course, you put in things like tags. The tags are just, again, keywords. They're the search terms, which basically it's, what did you write about today? 3, 4, 5 terms, you know, that you wrote, you know, that are included in your post, you know, things like that. That just takes a little bit of time, and making sure it's formatted well. And I run my posts now through Grammarly, because I don't have a proofreader. I mean, I do, but I don't have time usually to send it to a proofreader, and I don't really want to spend the money on that. And most people don't. So Grammarly.com is a great product where you can pay a very minimal amount of money, and you just drop your post in there and check it for grammar and whatever. So by the time you've done all that, it's probably an hour and a half. But, you know, it's not that long. And I always tell people to, you know, the first 6 to 9 months or 12 months of their blog, it's better to post more often than less often, and then to taper off once they have some traffic. But it's the getting the traffic that's hard, and that takes some continuity in the blog. So once a week to me is the bare minimum. I like to see people do 2 or 3 times a week for the first, you know, and more if they can, but I don't want them to burn out either, I agree. But I like to see 2 or 3 times a week for the first.
Well, I think what I found working with people is if they can get to once a week, usually it starts to the excitement and seeing people reading your stuff, and it kind of, you'll want to blog more. But people that, you know, are taskmasters on themselves, really, I've had people that their first couple of months they did it, and then I check back and it's 2 years later they stopped. They just stopped.
Yeah.
So, you know, you
plus they need a plan. They also need a plan. I think what also happens is they run out of content. They just think, you know, there's no way that I can keep writing about this. I don't know what to say anymore.
Right.
And I think for authors, you really have to sit down and create a blog plan that is long term. You know, what am I going to be writing about, you know, over time? And plus, to think, you know, I like to work with people when they first start their website to figure out what they're going to be writing about over time. More often than not, they have more than one book. So let's set up that blog to encompass all the different topics they want. You know, let's see how the books go together and pick themes and topics that they can write about that are going to take them from one book to the next, so they don't feel like they run out.
Right. Okay, and then also, you know, just share your post on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. If you don't use that plugin, all you have to do is pop into each, drop a link to your thing, and leave a couple sentences. Facebook pulls in whatever image you have, and Twitter will just automatically link it, and LinkedIn too. So if you just want to do it the old-fashioned way, just make sure that somehow you you know, it just it's it makes it easier for you. You're getting it out to as many places as you possibly can. Now, one thing a lot of people overlook is if you want to build an email list, which you do want to do, no matter what you're doing, I don't care what type of site it is, you have to add some sort of call to action on your website. And so that's either sign up for your email list or get a free download, but you want to capture your readers. You want to capture their email. So what you're going to do is you're going to set it up in the next page. We're going to talk about a couple of the email programs, but you want to have, you can, not a lot of people are doing newsletters anymore because it's a lot of work to set up a newsletter. So you can just do something like a tip sheet, you know, 8 tips to overcome writer's block, you know, research tips, bonus offers, get my first chapter for free. You know, there's so many things you can offer. And then that way, after they sign up, they'll get sent one of the success emails from the email program, and you can just have the download link right in there, so it's not any work for you, just the setup is. So, you know, your email list, this is how people make money online. A lot of authors are just trying to sell their books. They're not really trying to sell a lot of other things. But when you release new books, these people cared enough to sign up the first time, and you have a list of interested people that you can just email and say, my new book is out or it's coming out. Another thing you can do that I really suggest now is instead of running your RSS feed, which is stands for really simple syndication, through Google's feed burner, which is what most people use, and that people just sign up for feeds through those, you can actually MailChimp and AWeber. Unfortunately, Constant Contact does not offer this. You can actually set it up so they can sign up for your new posts, and they join your email list with both of those programs.
Right. So yeah, I highly recommend that because Google has there's been some, you know, sort of talk along on the internet about FeedBurner going away. And if FeedBurner goes away, you lose your subscribers. So it's another one of those things that you want to kind of own. And if you can get them onto a MailChimp or an AWeber list, then you don't have to worry about that, because as long as you're paying for your email marketing system, you have them. And so I highly recommend that. Plus, then they're opting in a way where you can still contact them if you want to. And
exactly. And they really stay in touch with what you're doing, because every time you post, what happens is it's sent in this really, they both websites that do it, which are MailChimp and AWeber. Now, iContact, I didn't check if they do it, but Constant Contact does not offer this feature and said they have no plans to do so, which I was really shocked because it's really exploding for the reason you said, Nina, is with these other feed burner programs, you didn't own those emails. There's a way you can find them in Google, but that's it's like a lot of people don't even know how to go in and find them. And plus, right. You know, if they just shut it down one day, which they're famous for doing, you know, where are all the subscribers? Plus, you want to be in contact with these people. So those two programs I mentioned have these nice templates you can set up. You can have a little sidebar and have a little, one of my clients has her little picture and her bio in there, and then a nice little, her banner on top, and then every time she posts, it goes out, and then the post pulls an excerpt and says, click here to read more. So they actually, they go to your website to read what you published. And also, both programs tell you how many people opened the email and actually went to read it. So, I mean, these are things that are important as you grow, statistics and how many people are reading what you offer. Also, that's an easy way to start your email list because you don't have to offer anything. You can just say, do you want my new post? So this really takes the pressure off for you to even have to come up with something.
Right. And if you've done the free gift and they're on a mailing list that was just created for the free list, but you also have the blog post subscription. So if those are two different things, the other thing you can do, which I've started doing, is for the people who are on the so-called mailing list, but you don't have a newsletter, right? You just gave them something free and got them on there. One of the things you can do is you can create a blog post digest at the end of every month or at the end of every week. And you can send that to the people on the other list and encourage them to subscribe to the blog. But it's also a way for you just to give them more content, right? So that you're saying, here's great information that I have for you because you signed up for my list.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to add that into this presentation, Nina. I like that. All right. Now we're just going to go to something practical, which is they have done studies on how people read websites, and they read it in what's called the F shape. So they've done where people scan down the left, and then their eyes go over in the two Fs, rove over to the right. So, a lot of websites now, they're the big oversized photo design, and like the LA Times, you can't even read articles on there anymore because every time you click, you get a huge picture, takes over your whole screen, and a lot of people hate their new design. I'm one of them because I used to love, I like sites where I can, if I click an article link, you better take me to that article. And if I start reading it and you throw some tricky pictures in front of me and I lose my place, I will not come back to your website. You literally have 5 to 10 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds to keep someone on your website. That is why you want to check your website that it loads quickly, which Google also now grades your website on how fast it loads. So if you have a lot of huge photos that aren't set up correctly, your site will load slowly on a lot of people's computers. So don't assume everyone has a fast computer if you have an updated fast computer. Don't forget the whole mobile thing now. Google is actually changing some of their analytics that they're going to now start forcing everyone has to have a mobile version of their website, which is a lot harder to do if you have an HTML website. It's a lot more work to create a mobile version. Another good reason to go to software like WordPress, where there's actually a plugin you can install if you can't afford to have someone trick out your site in mobile, you can actually install a plugin that will serve a mobile version of your website. So that's a new thing that just came out a couple weeks ago. Google let us know that we're going to start judging if the sites have a mobile version. So one of the things I recommend, even if you have a site where you have gone with a big kind of glossy homepage, usually on the blogging section, people still have the sidebar. So sidebars are still on 90% of the sites I look at. And sidebars are a navigation tool, and people are used to them, and they look for things on your sidebar. So the things I have a couple in here is your social media icons, so they can click your contact icon, like a little mail thing, so they if they don't go, most people, there's the menu that will have your contact, and then you can also add a little section on the sidebar. Some people read things differently than others. They might not. I actually have clients that haven't noticed the top navigation, or they don't know what it is. They don't even know what to call it. So never assume everybody reads everything like you do. On the sidebar, you're going to have your latest post, your definite call to action for whatever you decide to go with. Every website, you must have a search box because I absolutely go crazy when I land on a website and I'm trying to find some information I know that website has, and there's no search feature. It's impossible. I mean, if you're doing what Nina and I are telling you and you're blogging a lot, you're going to have a lot of content. They need to be able to quickly find something if they're looking for something else on your website. So you really have to have a search button. And then, like I said, your icons for other things. This is also a place you can say, if you want to endorse some other websites, you can have, sites I endorse. Also, there's a plugin I use if you're an author that rotates reviews on the sidebar. It's a nice little thing that people really seem to like. You can put reviews from people. Most of my authors have a small picture of their book, and we either link it to their sales page or straight to Amazon if they want to. So that's kind of your call of what you want to do. But that makes it easy too for them. Maybe they don't want to click your sales page, and when they're reading your blog post, they might go, oh, let me go look at their book. And they'll just click that little icon on the sidebar. So these are the kind of things. Oh, and then if your site gets busy, I definitely have clients that sell ad space on the sidebar. You can do like 25 a month, 50 a month, and put little small ads that link to whatever they're trying to sell. I definitely have clients that do that. Nina, anything to add on the sidebar thought?
Well, in terms of ads, the other thing is I've actually not run ads from other people. Well, for a little while I did Google Ads, but I didn't like it very much. I didn't like the way it made my site look.
Yeah,
But what
I don't use Google Ads at all.
No, but what I do use is in the sidebar, not on my main site, ninamir.com, but which actually has a big picture, but it has a little sidebar down at the very bottom, and then on the blog page, it does have a sidebar.
Right.
And all the other pages, it has sidebars. But on my blog site, so writenonfictionnow.com and blogbook.com, there in the sidebar, I not only advertise my books, but and they are links to Amazon, although it says it has links to other sites as well. Mm-hmm. But then I run ads for products that I'm an affiliate of. So they are ads, but they're ones I've chosen. So, you know, if I want to do I have one for a Scrivener product, and I have one for the bookdesigner.com's templates, and, you know, things like that, that I know the quality of the product, I've used it, I like it, and then the other thing I do is I run ads for my own products and services.
Right, right.
So if I'm offering coaching or if I've created a program, I will run the ads for that. So if you were to go to writenonfictionnow.com, at the very top, actually, there is a big ad for my Nonfiction Writers University. So I like doing that because it's a way for authors to build a business around their books and around, you know, their content.
Right, and that's a whole other webinar in itself, is how to get that extra income and promote yourself and products that you love and build an affiliate income. Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. All right, and then the final thing is just the contact page. Make sure you have set this up. A lot of people, when they have me redo their websites, I just have to laugh. There is absolutely no way to contact them, more times than I ever expected. So just make sure that you have a contact form, and then you can add a little comment section, because some people will say, can you come speak at my conference or speak to our group? So this is pretty standard. I use something called Contact 7 form. I really like that. It's one of the oldest ones. There's a lot of good ones in WordPress you can find. And when I built HTML websites, most of them, you just add this anyway. It's a, you know, it's part of building the site. It'll say add the contact page. So, like I said, don't ever actually put, if you feel you have to put your email online, some people, amazingly to me, still want to do that. Just put a hyphen in between. Don't use the actual, never make it a hot link where they can click it. Now, that used to be how people did it, but also, unless someone has Outlook or has an email program on their desktop, that link won't work anyway because it's set up to open an email program. So a lot of people use web-based email now, so those don't even work anymore anyway. But never a good idea to actually put your email online anywhere. Never, never do that. If you want someone to contact you and you're in a forum or you're somewhere else, send them the link to your contact page so they can just click there and contact you through your contact page. All right, and never list your actual home address online. If you get a P.O. box or use a church address where you go to church, because, you know, you're probably not going to actually get anything there, but what you will get is spam, and people will... You get all the spammers and the scammers, so you just, and be safe. I'm all about safety online. Don't put your home address online. You know, I have it in my billing stuff, but those are only for my clients, but I would never put my actual address on the internet. So those
right.
are just,
Yeah, and you want to be careful because, like, I've had to start thinking about it because sometimes I'll say on Facebook or on a social network, you know, that I'm going to Europe to see my son who dances in Europe, you know, something like that. And then, you know, basically you're saying nobody's home.
Oh, my gosh, that's so true.
Right, you know, and I never thought about that. And then somebody said to me, make sure you say somebody's staying with the cat, or, you know what I mean? Make sure
right.
that you make it sound like somebody's home, that you haven't just left your home, you know, with nobody there.
Yeah, because even if you don't, they don't have your address, they can Google your name. And most of us, if you own your homes, you're in the public database and your address will come right up.
That's right.
So, yeah, really. And this is what criminals do. So it's just, you know, it's getting actually worse online from hackers and spammers and scammers. So, you know, you just have to be even more careful than when I first started online. I started speaking at schools about internet safety, and it's really just gotten worse in the last year or so, more than ever. So just be very careful, and don't trust all these emails you get that, you know, ask you for this and that, and I'm going to fix your site and make you number one. Just stick to the plan. if you're working with Nina, ask Nina. If you're working with me, ask me. You know, most of you, if you're watching this webinar, you have good, solid people you're already working with. Before you make any silly decisions or if you have any questions, you can just email one of us and say, is this for real? I mean, we know. We've been doing this a long time now.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that covers the whole thing.
Great. So where can they find you, Linda?
Let's see. Well, at Ask Me PC Web Design or WordPress Total Training or Linda Lee. If you put Linda Lee WordPress in Google, hundreds of pages come up. I'm happy to say.
Okay. And so it's Ask Me PC, like ask me like a question, PC like a computer, dash webdesign.com.
Right. Or short version, askmepc.com. Yeah, I've been online now for 10 years, so I'm fortunate. The longer you're online, by the way, just to keep your hopes up, it's all about length of time and content. People will find you quicker and quicker. The more you write, the longer you're online, and the longer you have your website. And it takes time, like Nina said. You know, we'll get people, and after a month, they're like, why don't I have any visitor? Why isn't my traffic more? And it's like, because you know why? Because it takes time. It just takes time.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's the best thing to leave you with is, you know, set up your author website, start blogging, start using the social networks, but realize that this is a long-term endeavor. It is not an overnight success thing. I mean, yes, you hear about a few people who start, you know, put a website up and start blogging and their stuff goes viral. And before they know it, you know, they have a book deal or they, you know, are selling tons of products and books and whatever. But the majority of people, this is, you know, a couple months of, you know, maybe the first month there are no readers or there are one or two, and the next month you have, you know, 5 or 10 a day, and, you know, it just starts to build, and it will snowball over time. But it's not a quick, you know, quick success type thing.
Right.
Which is not I don't want to say that to deter anyone. It's because it's a necessity, and it really is quite fulfilling. To be honest, the first time you have a reader or, you know, a unique visitor who shows up and you know they've read your blog post, it's really exciting. And the first time that you get a comment or you get an email from somebody saying how much they loved your blog post, it's very exciting. And I always tell people that I reach more people in a day with my blogs than I ever can with a book. And that's really, really fulfilling to me. Well, it's true because, you know, the average book sells 250 copies per year, but you can have 250 people read your blog every day.
In one day, easily.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's why this is worth doing, because, you know, you really are going to reach a lot of people, and of those people, a percentage are going to buy your books.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Linda, for all the great information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And as always, it's fun to hang out with you, my friend and my colleague.
That's right.
So, everybody, you can re-listen to this and re-watch us and look at the slides again. I hope you will, because these 8 elements really are essential for every author website if you want to succeed. So again, thank you, Linda. And this is Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach. Go out and achieve more inspired results.